Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all guests will remain in a listen-only mode for the duration of today's conference. At the end of the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. You will be allowed one question and one follow-up at that time. Today's conference is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now like to turn the conference over to Benjamin Haynes. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you all for joining us today for a briefing on the current outbreak of yellow fever in Brazil and the release of a new CDC Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, which describes 10 cases of yellow fever in unvaccinated travelers to Brazil in the first months of 2018. We're joined today by Dr. Martin Cetron, Director of CDC's Division of Global Migration and Quarantine and co-author of the report. He, along with lead author Dr. David Hamer, Principal Investigator of GeoSentinel and lead author of the report, and Dr. Lyle Peterson, Director of CDC's Division of Vector-Borne Diseases, will address questions after the briefing. I'll now turn the call over to Dr. Cetron.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Benjamin. Thanks to all of you who are joining us for the teleconference. We're here to talk about the yellow fever outbreak in Brazil, which is an important public health issue and one that certainly has the potential to affect U.S. travelers. Yellow fever virus is found in tropical and subtropical areas of South America and Africa. The virus is transmitted to people by the bite of an infected mosquito. And in the last 2 years or so, Brazil's yellow fever outbreak has expanded significantly, moving closer to popular tourist destinations on the coast, near the coast, and in major urban areas like Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo. We have also had recent reports of yellow fever cases and deaths in travelers. And in light of this expanding outbreak, we have updated our advice to travelers. The most important new recommendation is that travelers should not go to these yellow fever hotspots in Brazil unless they are vaccinated. Health officials in Brazil have recently confirmed more than 920 cases of yellow fever, including more than 300 deaths. During this outbreak, which began at the end of late 2016. Cooler temperatures resulted in a decline in cases during mid-2017 over their winter season, but transmission began again with the warmer weather that came late fall and our wintertime, resulting in a second wave of the outbreak that is ongoing now. The MMWR that was released here this morning describes yellow fever cases in travelers to Brazil, including those reported to GeoSentinel. This is a global clinician-based sentinel surveillance system for travel-related illness among international travelers and migrants. In just the first few months of 2018, at least 10 unvaccinated travelers from Europe and South America contracted yellow fever in Brazil, and other possible cases are under investigation. Eight of these travelers were infected on the island of Ilha Grande in Rio de Janeiro state. All four reported deaths were in travelers who had visited Ilha Grande. This number of travelers getting yellow fever from visiting the same general area and around the same time is highly unusual and suggests that Ilha Grande is an exceptionally hot spot for yellow fever virus transmission. All cases identified by GeoSentinel and other authorities that have been reported to date have occurred in unvaccinated travelers. Vaccine is the best way to prevent yellow fever. We recommend that unvaccinated travelers to all affected areas of Brazil get vaccinated at least 10 days before their trip. For the most up-to-date information about the outbreak in Brazil, please see our travel notice, which can be found at cdc.gov/travel. The travel notice includes a map of the affected areas, as well as information about yellow fever and our comprehensive advice for travelers, including actions to prevent mosquito bites. There's also information there on the website about where travelers can get yellow fever. Right now, the one U.S. licensed yellow fever vaccine, YFVax, is out of stock. An alternative vaccine called Stamaril, which is comparable to YFVax in safety and effectiveness, is available instead. The challenge, as some of you may know, is that only a limited number of clinics in the United States have Stamaril, approximately 250 clinics for the entire country. which is reduced from the 4,500 clinics normally carrying YFVax. For many travelers, a clinic that has Stamerol will be within a reasonable distance, but some may need to drive significant distances to reach one of these authorized clinics with the vaccine, and appointments may be limited because of high demand. We know this has been and will continue to be inconvenient and frustrating for some travelers. We have created an easy-to-use map and a detailed list on our website showing which clinics in each state have Stamerol. In light of the expanding outbreak in Brazil, we encourage travelers to take the extra time and extra steps necessary to get vaccinated before their trip. Before we get to your questions, I want to reemphasize this point. People who have never been vaccinated against yellow fever should not travel to the areas of Brazil affected by the outbreak, particularly the hotspot of Ilha Grande. We appreciate your role in sharing this important information with our travelers and with your readers. We now look forward to answering any questions that you have. And to repeat, we are joined on the line by Dr. Lyle Peterson of CDC's Division of Vector-Borne Diseases and Dr. David Hamer, the principal investigator for GeoSentinel, who is the first author of this report.
Thank you, Dr. Cetron. Karen, we are now ready for questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one, and record your first and last name clearly when prompted. Again, please press star, then one, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, and please be reminded you will be allowed one question and one follow-up. Our first question comes to Mike Stoke of the Associated Press, so your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Could I ask, first of all, how many U.S. travelers go to Brazil each year? How many people do we think might be needing these shots? And my follow-up is, if you could say a little more about the history of the travel notice, how's this changing? Were shots previously recommended, but now you're saying they're not only recommended, but don't go to these areas if you haven't had the vaccination. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. I'll take the latter part first and to say that clearly there are two things that are going on. The epizootic in Brazil, this outbreak, is expanding significantly over the last 2 years. And what that expansion has moved both south and east, and it now encompasses areas that previously were not recommended for vaccine. Just to give you a sort of a rough feel, the population at risk prior to this outbreak living in yellow fever transmission areas in Brazil was approximately 5 million. That number is probably more than 30 million now with this new expansion. This new expansion has also gotten close to the urban, settings in big states and coastal areas that are visited by a lot of tourists. So the expansion has actually meant that the vaccine recommendations that we've had in our notices, and if you look at them over time, has been serially expanding to encompass the dynamic change that this outbreak is representing, the increase in risk. And also, with the number of travel-related cases and deaths, the intensity of transmission with respect to travelers' risk is somewhat unprecedented. And in that regard, we are, as you say, both strengthening the message and want people to be aware of the new areas of risk and strengthening the hesitation that somebody may have because of the challenge of getting vaccine. We don't want them to hesitate and think, oh, I'll just go without it. Can't really hurt. People have gone. My friends have gone before and nothing's happened. It is highly unusual for GeoSentinel to see these types of cluster of cases. In fact, in the 20-plus years of the network, we haven't had any reported this way. So we're strengthening both the advice, be protected or don't go, and know that the risk is changed and increased in terms of the risk. So that's your second question. The first question was about volume. In 2017, 2.2 million passenger journeys occurred from Brazil to the U.S. Most of these occur during December and January, and 75% of these travelers arrive at five airports in the U.S. which are Miami, JFK, Orlando, Atlanta, and Houston. A large percent, over 70% of those incoming travelers are Brazilian nationals who are either coming here to visit or are coming, returning here to visit a family and relatives. So the rough breakdown of that is about 30%. The U.S. travel to Brazil is also about 2.2 million. The breakdown in proportion of who goes there versus who's coming in at any one point in time may vary a little bit in terms of citizenship. But the point is the same. This is a highly connected place in the world to the United States, where several million travel journeys are happening every year, and there are peak transmission or peak travel times frequently that are corresponding with peak transmission times of this outbreak.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Maggie Fox of NBC News. Ma'am, your line is open.
Thanks. I have one question and then a follow-up. Can you talk about yellow fever in context of Zika? You learned a lot about how people carry back infections from the rest of the world in trying to follow up on Zika. And as we know, yellow fever is transmitted the same way. Can you kind of help us explain to people how this relates to what we know about Zika transmissions? And can I please follow up?
Sure, Maggie. I'll start, but excuse me, I'll also turn it over to Lyle. Let me make one point about the current yellow fever outbreak. Right now, this is still what we call an epizootic, which is the outbreak in Brazil is largely being spread by non-Aedes mosquitoes. Sort of the sylvatic or the forested cycle of yellow fever is spread by different mosquito species. And what's being reported out of Brazil to date largely suggests an expansion of the epizootic. The concern, obviously, and the reason why there's a massive vaccine campaign in Brazil to immunize the urban population is to prevent the introduction of yellow fever, this outbreak, the forested expansion, into the urban mosquito population. The Zika virus was being spread by the Aedes mosquito, and we are much more receptive in the U.S. than certain parts of our country because we have Aedes aegyptized mosquitoes. This is still a forest-related outbreak. So there are some lessons from Zika that may apply. There are some clear distinctions. The bottom line in all of this is that both of these are zoonotic viruses and vector-borne viruses. The benefit we have with yellow fever is we have an available vaccine that is in our arsenal. And the race now is the race to immunize and protect people who could be exposed. We didn't have that tool for Zika, and that's a very important distinction. Let me turn it over to Lyle to add any other comments on this.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Citron. Yeah, maybe I can provide a little bit shorter of an answer. There's basically two kinds of mosquitoes that spread the yellow fever virus. One is are forest-dwelling mosquitoes, so people that go into areas where the virus is circulating in the forest, and it's usually spread between non-human primates like monkeys, and these forest-dwelling mosquitoes. And so when people come into those environments, they can get exposed. And that's what's happening on this Isla Grande. It's a forest preserve, and so people go into the forest and they get infected. But what can also happen is the virus can also be spread by the Aedes aegypti mosquito. This is the same mosquito that spreads Zika virus, as well as chikungunya virus and a couple of others. The Aedes aegypti mosquito is an urban mosquito. It lives around people in cities. And so it can spread the virus from person to mosquito, Aedes aegypti mosquito, to another person. And that's what we fear could potentially happen, although in the continental United States, the last kind of this urban transmission happened well over 100 years ago. We're not too worried about yellow fever being transmitted in the United States because we don't have these forest-dwelling mosquitoes, for one thing. And the other thing is that we learned from Zika that even though many travelers came in with Zika virus infection, there were very limited transmission in the continental United States, even though Aedes aegypti mosquitoes are found commonly in the southern U.S. So the conditions are a little bit different. So I think that's kind of the explanation. So there is a potential for the yellow fever virus to be introduced into the southern United States and spread, but we don't think that's going to happen. And if it did, it would be very limited in scope.
Maggie, you had a follow-up question?
There's been reports that incorrect rumors about the vaccine are spreading on WhatsApp and other social media down there. Do you all know anything about that?
We're probably reading the same reports that you have, and I think to get more insight into the specifics and what's being done locally in that setting, it would be best to contact folks on the ground in Brazil. I think our source of information is the same thing that you've been reading. Next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jason Bobian of NPR, so your line is open.
Hey, thanks for doing this. I've got two questions, so I'm going to use one, and then the other one is a follow-up. If you're just going to Rio or you're just going into Sao Paulo, those states are on your list of recommended areas. But if you're just going there for business, you're going into the urban area, how much risk do you really have?
No, we can't quantify the risk other than to say it's markedly increased over what it has been. And the data, the dynamic nature of the outbreak and the ability to know precisely where the virus is at any one point in time is pretty limited. But to give you a feel around proximity, I mean, monkeys were dying off in the parks and forested areas, you know, right on the outskirts of Sao Paulo City. There were primate deaths in the Sao Paulo Zoo. So, you know, it wouldn't be very hard to, you know, walk to an area where there's this forest-related transmission. And I would not want to take a trip down there now without the protection of a vaccine, since we have a vaccine. It's just a risk that I wouldn't take. And, you know, I think that's kind of what we're trying to say is, there's a certain amount of unpredictability of that. It's moved quite close, and at the time somebody goes, the situation could be different, both better and worse. So we can't really give you a block-by-block granular level of the risk scenario, but it's markedly increased over what it's been traditionally.
And so my second question, I mean, obviously Brazil has been aggressively attempting to deal with this for a couple of years. There's been mass campaigns to vaccinate people. I mean, what is your sense about what's going on with this outbreak, that it continues apparently to be expanding?
Yeah, I don't think we fully understand all the factors behind the reemergence of yellow fever in Brazil. Historically, this degree of yellow fever activity you have to go back to 1942 before you saw urban outbreaks of yellow fever. You know, we think about disease emergence along the sort of holy triad of infectious disease, factors around the pathogen, the virus in this case, factors around the host, including vulnerability or susceptibility to infection, and then factors that are often much less well understood have to do with the milieu of the circumstance, the ecologic factors, cultural factors, behavior, mobility, forestation. Ilha Grande, as Dr. Peterson pointed out, is sort of a forested island that has become recently an attractive tourist destination. So changes in mobility and travel patterns where people are coming into greater contact with forested areas is a factor. There are all sorts of potential intersections for why the epizootic has expanded the way it does. And I don't think we fully understand them. They bear, you know, more research to get. And you're right, there's been an aggressive campaign in the last 2 years with this reemergence to urgently immunize 20-plus million people. I think 23 million people are the target populations in these new transmission areas. So it's a race, you know, it's a race against the virus to get the population protected by immunity. And we need to learn more about why this is happening.
Next question, please.
Next question comes from Donald McNeil of New York Times. So your line is open.
Thank you. Besides this press conference, what is the CDC doing to spread the word on this? I'm asking because, while this press conference is going on, I'm looking at one travel adventure site and TripAdvisor and Lonely Planet, and I'm not seeing anything about yellow fever on any of these sites. It's all go visit beautiful Isla Grande and stuff. There's nothing saying you might die. Is CDC going to do more than hold this press conference, and how do you know it's going to work?
Yeah, well, we are actively doing more, and this is just one of many steps. There's a large social media campaign that's being launched. We've had partner outreach. We have a group that we've worked with in other outbreaks like Zika and Ebola, where we understand where the diaspora communities are, where Brazilian populations are living in the U.S. So we're doing a sort of a fair large communication, very targeted outreach campaign. We are also trying to get a better understanding of the vaccine coverage rate of travelers coming in from Brazil, and that activity will be ongoing this month. And we are, trying to knit together with GeoSentinel and other surveillance networks to have a better understanding of risk. We've also, members of Lyle's team, and I'll let Dr. Peterson speak to this, have been consulting with Brazilian authorities about their vaccine campaign and other types of things. So there's a lot going on more than just this press conference, but Donald, your point is well taken. One of the reasons for doing this is, like you, I have a sense that there's a disconnect between what people understand about the new yellow fever epidemic in Brazil, the degree to which we are connected to Brazil, and the intersection of the YFX stockout in the U.S. So I share your concerns, and we are going to continue to push hard on this issue.
Are you reaching out to the travel agencies and the others who sort of encourage people to go and have fun down there, rather than expecting somebody to be on a CDC website and actually looking it up?
Yes, we're doing direct outreach to the travel industry partners, the booking partners, airline partners, et cetera. But clearly it's not enough, right? In these 10 cases that we're reporting that happened in South American travelers and European travelers are sort of a cold wake-up call that we don't want to see this happen to U.S. travelers. And we also want to make sure that physicians that are seeing the large incoming population of Brazilian visitors and Brazilian expats, et cetera, if they get a fever after spending time in these risk areas, they need to be thinking about yellow fever, which is not necessarily first and foremost on the mind of U.S. physicians, even infectious disease specialists. So we want the people to get diagnosed early, properly treated, and with the kinds of supportive therapy that are available. And so there's a lot of provider physician-related direct outreach, too. We started some of the outreach about the shortage more than a year ago, and we're behind the efforts to get importation of Stamaryl by Sanofi into the United States so there wouldn't be a total absence of vaccine in the U.S. While their plants are shut down.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lynn Peterson of Trends in Medicine. Ma'am, your line is open.
What are you doing to improve the supply of the vaccine?
So, as I mentioned, when it was apparent, some of you may know that for 2 years leading up to the stock out there, the vaccine had been rationed somewhat by the YF manufacturer. And we were aware of those issues as they shared them. When they first indicated that there would be a stockout where there would be no more production until a new plant was built and coming online to do that, we worked with the DOD, with the FDA, with Sanofi and others to make sure that there would be a continuous supply of yellow fever vaccine in the U.S. As you may know, Sanofi makes Stamaryl, which is made in France, and under an expanded use authorization with the FDA, we worked with Sanofi to bring in Stamaryl for use in the U.S. The clinics that were chosen based on some calculations of how many IND clinics they could support. And then we helped design a system that made sure that the largest areas where travelers were coming from would be served, that the availability of Stamberil would not have too many white spaces where people would have to drive great distances to get access to vaccine, and we would continually monitor the sales of vaccine to see what the uptake. They indicate that that there's plenty of Stamberil available to continue to bring in to the U.S. to meet whatever demand that we would have. What you've seen also globally, what other countries have done in settings of global shortages of yellow fever vaccine around massive urban outbreaks like the one in Angola, which required, you know, use of a global stockpile, there have been studies that have documented the effectiveness of fractional dosing, that is to, you know, divide the full dose into partitions where you can stretch it and get five doses out of one original aliquot. CDC, particularly folks in Dr. Peterson's group, have studied the effectiveness and the duration of that immunity in providing protection. So there was a recent paper in the New England Journal that highlighted that you could also fractionate existing yellow fever vaccine supplies and still get protective coverage. So those are just some of the many efforts that are being done, but more planning, you know, is ongoing in this space.
Hi, Karen. We have time for one more question, please.
Thank you. Our last question comes from Nassim Miller of Orlando Sentinel. Your line is now open.
Thanks for taking my question. I was wondering, you know, with Orlando, we are expected to have about 500,000 visitors coming through the airport this year, and we also have these theme parks. Just for the readers, what is the level of worry as far as the yellow fever coming back here or potentially spreading? And number two, and you addressed this a little bit, how well prepared do you think our emergency room doctors are for sick patients? Yeah, or diagnosing them right away. Is there an easy way to diagnose, or how do you go about that?
Yeah, I think just to highlight what Dr. Peterson said, and I'll turn it back to him to speak to the diagnostics and so on. You know, we think that the circumstances are really different. The environment is different in the U.S., and we're not expecting that there would be large, widespread outbreaks of yellow fever across the U.S., even in areas that have Aedes aegypti. Even looking at Zika as an example in that regard and seeing what that pattern looked like. That doesn't mean to say we won't have imported cases. We could. And that doesn't mean to say that there might not be small areas where local transmission could occur through Aedes mosquitoes. That is a possibility. But we do not anticipate that there will be large-scale outbreaks like the ones you're seeing in Brazil, which have, you know, a much higher sort of climatologic suitability to sustain big outbreaks. I think emergency room doctors, so Orlando has the second highest volume of travelers from Brazil, 400,000 in 2017. So you're well aware of this this issue. And we do think that continuing to educate providers to be able to make a diagnosis, report cases, and support the people who are sick is going to be key. I'll let Dr. Peterson talk about some of the diagnostic capabilities that exist at the local level.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Citron. We actually do have very good diagnostics for yellow fever. Diagnostics are available through CDC here in my division. And any physician that sees a patient with possible yellow fever can contact their local health department, who can then transfer those, collect the specimens, and then transfer them to CDC for here for diagnostics. So we do have good diagnostic capability here in the U.S., and so that should not be a problem. I'd like to emphasize what Dr. Citron said was that, again, you know, we do have the Aedes aegypti mosquito here in the southern United States, throughout Florida, in fact. And so there is a small potential for some local transmission if a case was imported. However, we think that is the low risk. We learned that from Zika, in fact. You know, thousands of people came to the United States with Zika virus, which is carried by the same mosquito here in the 80s, Aegypti mosquito. And we only saw very limited transmission down in parts of southern Texas and in the Miami area. So we will be on the lookout for any cases that may appear. We are encouraging physicians with clinically compatible cases to test for it, and we are ready and available to test those specimens.
Okay. Let me just close this out by kind of giving you the bottom line again. There is an expanding number of hotspots in Brazil where yellow fever virus is being transmitted, and these are atypical areas in large states that have not previously seen this amount of viral activity in decades, including a specific hotspot on Ilha Grande where these travel-related cases are reported, and they have caused fatal illness in those settings. So the bottom line is CDC does not recommend people travel to these hotspots in Brazil without the protective benefit of yellow fever vaccine. It may be harder to get, but it's worth the extra effort, and make sure you're vaccinated before you go.
Thank you, Dr. Cetron, and thank you, Drs. Peterson and Hamer, for joining us today. In addition to today's MMWR release, CDC's Travelers Health website has launched a new yellow fever webpage with the latest updates, information, and resources for travelers and clinicians, including a clinic locator tool to find the nearest yellow fever vaccine clinic. If you have follow-up questions, please call the main media line at 404-639-3286, or you can email media@cdc.gov. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. You may all disconnect at this time.